This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 5th of September. We have entered the new school year. I got a new producer. Good morning, sir. It's good to see ya. It's a great, great time. So listen, I'm thinking about this idea. Since it's a new school year, I got a new idea. I want to do a new caller Wednesday, right? Like this Wednesday, I want new callers. I had a couple of people messaging me over the weekend saying that they've been trying to get in to the show, but they're on the phone, they keep calling, it's busy, and then when they listen in, they hear our regulars, right? Our regular callers. And so they asked me to tell the regular callers, be easy sometimes. But I think more importantly, maybe what we do is, like, we do a new call Wednesday, right? And on Wednesday, I want to give a space for new callers to join the discussion. So definitely this Wednesday, we're going to do an open line call and tell me what you're feeling. Now, today is another episode of the Bahamas, where we take a look at all the things that have happened in the Bahamas over the last week or so. It's not quite open line, but if you think that there is news that we need to know about, please call me or text me and share the news. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Before I list off the things that I want to talk about today, I have to say happy birthday. Happy birthday to my cousin, Gia Bailey Poitier. Look here. One of the most treasured members of the Mitchell family. I mean, most of all, because she is the sweetest spirit. But secondly, because she is the keeper of the culinary secrets. She is the person that knows the way to the guava duff and the okra and rice. She is the one we treasure the most. Happy, happy birthday, cousin. And happy belated birthday to my other cousin, Leah Enius. Leah the Great, actress extraordinaire. Happy belated birthday. And happy belated birthday to Princess Pratt, my cousin from Cat Island, the storyteller, and a guest on the clock. Good morning and happy birthday and happy belated birthday to anyone who I didn't, whose name I didn't call. All right, so here's a couple of things I want to talk about today, or maybe, if you want to talk about it, I think it's worth talking about. I definitely want to talk about the Dorian Memorial Concert Series, the whole series of events. I want to talk about the William and Kate Highway. I think we should call it the William and Kate Highway. It stretches from, it's on Carmichael, it stretches from the Blue Hill Road intersection to just past Sybil Strawn Primary School. It's a beautiful highway, but you all need to stripe it. You're going to need to put some stripes on it. It's like a 7-lane highway. It's pure chaos there. There's broken glass and evidence of an accident there at least once every 2 weeks. It's time to stripe it. Now, I could imagine why you don't want to stripe it, because you're going to make the rest of Carmichael Road jealous. But you already made the rest of Carmichael Road jealous by not actually paving it. Imagine that you only paved the part that the prince and the princess was going to drive on. That's mean and that's petty. It's very petty. Which leads me to the Dorian Memorial Concert Series. We're going to stick a pin there. Text, great show as usual. So if you say happy birthday, you have to give age, because it's number playing etiquette. I can't do that, not until after we play it. Sorry. Aaron, is it just me, or does it feel like this government is not taking crime seriously? Why does it feel like our PM is in a beauty pageant? His focus just seemed to be on clean air rather than saving human lives. Well, I tell you, it does feel like this government is not taking crime seriously, without a doubt. This morning, on the way into the station, I could guess it's well over 10. How many people I witness with my own good eyes run stop signs and red lights in front of police officers? How many officers ignored blatant traffic offenses in front of them? How many police officers witness people driving with their cell phone in their hand? And people are going to say, man, Aaron, it's just road, it's just road. I'm going to tell you that in other jurisdictions, in the jurisdictions that we look up to, that we call developed while we're still developing, they use traffic management as a crime-fighting tool. Right? So while you got the roads saturated, the inner cities saturated with officers and cars, in other jurisdictions, the police aren't sort of terrorizing communities. They are on the public road using their authority as traffic officers to nip it in the bud, to catch it before it explodes, right? That's what they're doing. So yeah, not only is the government ignoring crime, it's ignoring all of the proven strategies available to them to deal with crime. So I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm all right. You know, I feel that what we need, right, I'm longing for the day, right, when we begin in the media to debate our critical race theory, you know, so this crime thing and penalties and thing and what it means to us in society, you know, that mean a lot. But one thing, you know, I would like to address something that was said in the show park, right?
Okay.
About the medallion taxis and the medallions in New York, the buying of a taxi medallion.
Uh-huh.
These things are like hundreds of thousands of dollars, as much as $500,000.
Yeah.
The prices fluctuate as much, you know what I'm saying? And these, you know, to bring that in the conversation about government giving out plates or license. Come on, man. We gotta stop putting things in the media that are nonsense. You know, and do our research. Thank you.
Absolutely, caller. I see we got another caller on the clock. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? 2-1. Sorry, we missed you, caller. I got a text here that says, Aaron, government don't police roads day to day. I want you to start being more mature and sensible by informing people with the right info. Okay. So the Royal Bahamas Police Force is an arm of the government. It is an agency of the government. It has a degree of independence, right? But the Ministry of National Security and the Royal Bahamas Police Force work hand in hand to police the country, including the roads. Thank you very much, Texter. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron, good morning.
Good
How
morning.
You doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome. Very interesting show. Again, I think it started off with the right show, and let's continue this on. The misconception seems to be out there that some police officers, and I don't know if it's a norm, but even some persons I'm hearing in the public domain saying that just because you're attached to, let's say, for instance, the road traffic department, let's say CDU, but you're out on the road and you see a crime, whether it's minimal or whether it's a major one being committed, that police officer cannot stop to actually investigate or arrest somebody there. I thought a police officer was a police officer, regardless to what division that police officer is assigned to.
Absolutely.
If there's a commission of a crime going on, wouldn't that police officer stop, whether he's plain clothes or whether he's in uniform or whatever? Because that is his duty as a law enforcement officer. Shouldn't he have stopped to investigate or arrest someone?
And even if that officer were on the way to another crime, right?
So exactly.
You call it in.
Exactly.
Even if you have been assigned, you are under direct orders, right, to go somewhere and not stop, you still call it in.
Of course. And you see, this is why, you know, there's this outcry out here. And, you know, I'm a defender. I can tell you, I'm a defender of police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have them in my family as well. And I know what they have to go through on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're off duty or on duty, you're still a police officer.
Yeah.
And that's the common knowledge that's accepted across the board. But when you see something is happening in front of you, and a police officer, for instance, is sitting in a patrol car at the light, in this case, traffic, at the light, and they see someone run a red light or see someone almost run up into somebody, you don't think the police officer should then take the initiative to go after that person and penalize them?
Yep.
Okay, well, this is why the roads are the way they are. This morning, I'm telling you, I called into Dwight's show, and I'm pretty sure the Royal Bahamas Police Force have people listening to these talk shows. The public is out here giving them pertinent information of where they're seeing infractions are happening, and nobody. I don't care whether you say there's a shortage of officers or a shortage of cars or whatever. There was no presence at all, and people are calling in, giving them this information. We talk about quotas. If you're on a quota system or not on a quota system, but the public is calling in, giving pertinent information that persons are knowingly breaking the laws, nobody shows up. What do you think is going to happen? It's a society that's going to be rampant with crime. And then when it gets to a certain level, then you want to now come out into the public domain and saying that you're taking action. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You know, but I'll close on this one point quickly here, Aaron. You know, some of us are really tired with the inefficiencies of government agencies not doing what they are mandated to do. Yeah. And when the public is out here trying to help you to bring some kind of semblance of order, for heaven's sake, man, come out and show some initiative. Yeah. You know, that's all we're asking for. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. And at the very least, when people call in to report vehicular accidents that are causing major traffic issues, don't hang up the phone on them. Don't be rude. Don't be short-tempered. Don't be like, oh, that's Miss Green calling again. Click. I'm not quite sure if the police force understand what it means to build a relationship with the public. And I say the force generally because there are officers who obviously model this, right? There are officers that are great, that are fantastic. They understand what it means to take a call from someone who believes that they're having an emergency, even if it isn't an emergency. You know what I'm saying? We have them in the force. But as a collective, there is a problem. First of all, when you go to headquarters, the last time I was there, there was a big, beautiful poster board indicating the mandate of the force. And number two on that list, it says that every police officer is a traffic officer. And if that's the case, it's important that every police officer understands what the traffic offenses are and what they're required to do when they occur in front of them. It's also important to let the police officers know that turning right on red is a crime. Let them know that using your cell phone while driving is a crime, and they are expected to stop people and either give them a first warning or penalize them with a ticket because it's an offense. But if you don't, every time somebody drives past a police officer while they're on their phone or they're committing an offense, it entrenches even further in their mind that what they're doing is okay. And then their children begin to model that behavior. But the parents never stop and tell the children, look here, this ain't what you're supposed to do, you know, this is just what you could get away with. We wouldn't even have, just having that simple conversation with our children would help them become sensible, mature adults. Don't lie to them. Don't confuse them about how you're going to go to hell if you don't follow all the rules and be a good citizen, but they watch you break every rule there is. Be honest with them and tell them, this is not what you're supposed to do, it's just what you could get away with. The text, I saw a traffic police on the road this morning as multiple cars. I don't know if they thought they were alleviating traffic at the intersection or not, but, you know, they're just allowing people to model bad driving behavior. A text there says, Aaron, this government isn't taking any crime serious, not only just traffic people. Just traffic. People are being kidnapped at embassies. Sex trafficking is getting a slap on the wrist. I have that to talk about. Why are police trying to make innocent civilians criminals when you sell a car? Road traffic is doing foolishness. People are being hunted like criminals for just selling a car, being called for... Oh, well. Even after being given the information... The person who sold it, I got you. So people who are being caught up, you bought a car, you didn't realize the car, or didn't know the car was stolen, and now the police are acting as if you are a part of the criminal enterprise that is selling stolen cars. A big part of what needs to change is please stop treating everybody you interact with as if they are the criminal you was looking for 3 weeks. You know? Please. Aaron, start recording these officers. Record your phone calls when they hang up on you and record when they're sitting in traffic and not enforcing the law. But I just saw a cop car parked in the disabled spot. Cops are disabled now. I tell you what, there are a lot of police officers living with disabilities. I'm certain of that. I don't even need that. And just anecdotal, I know that there are tons of police officers living with disabilities that are not being treated. They may not be aware of them. They may not realize it's a disability. And that's, let's bring balance to the conversation. I don't want you all to think that we just beating up on police officers. Police officers are obviously stressed out, but enforcing traffic controls cannot be something you just throw to the side. Like, you don't have to do that today. I got to get a little, I got to get my mount. I have a mount. I got to get it up in the car. I got to do a whole show. I got to do a whole show with it. Y'all be surprised. If y'all see the things that be happening on the road, you wouldn't drive your car. I telling you. All right, so there's lots in the news. Former track star shot dead, Chavez Hart killed in Abaco. We say condolences to the friends and family and to the community who has lost a giant of a man. Witnesses and family assert that he was attempting to stop a fight, and this resulted in his death. And we just gotta ask people to govern themselves. I mean, this is simply a matter of people who refuse to govern themselves. And you could see, I could understand why the police are frustrated when you're constantly dealing with people who just go buck wild. This lone foolishness. But you can't treat us, you know, the citizens, as if all of us, you know, are just maniacs on the plantation waiting to revolt. You just can't. Condolences to the family and friends of Chavez Hart, killed in Abaco. Tomorrow we're going to talk about this story in the front of the Guardian, local employee of Bahamas Embassy in Haiti kidnapped. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Luby George and Mark Palmer that we started last week. I wanted to touch back on the article from last week. Police report startling sex crime numbers. Last week I had a question for the police. Were they really startled? I know they weren't startled. I mean, we should be startled, I guess. And so what I wanted to know is the general public, are you all startled? Did you read the article entitled Police Report Startling Sex Crime Numbers that was in The Guardian, in The Tribune? It was startling rise in rape attacks. Those are the two stories. Are you startled? Do you think these numbers are accurate, or do you think that a far larger number of sex crimes were not reported, are not being reported? I mean, I think 37 cases of unlawful sexual intercourse with a person between 14 and 16 were reported. See, now, I think that should be called statutory rape. Because if they were similar ages, like if 16 and 17, 16 and 18, we sort of treat them, I don't know. We treat those cases like we try to not put them before the courts, depending on the nature of the interaction. This is rough. 69 cases of indecent assault and 51 rapes were recorded between January 1st and August 23rd. And when I put those excerpts together from that article, one of the questions I had was, what about sex trafficking and human trafficking? And see, in today's paper, in today's Guardian, on the bottom of the fold with the court news, man sentenced to prison for role in trafficking teen girls. Article reads, a man who conspired to force two 16-year-old Bahamian girls into prostitution took a plea deal in his human trafficking case on Friday. Say what? This is startling. I mean, we know that it's happening, but every time you read it, it should be startling. He conspired to force two 16-year-old girls into prostitution. If you want to make money selling sex, sir, you need to sell your own body. You got to be bold and brave. Sell your own body. This is unacceptable. But it's not startling if you remember that where we are geographically represents an opportunity for some and a problem for most. And human smuggling and trafficking is not something new to these islands at all. And so every time we see a missing poster, particularly of a young girl or a young boy, before we ask the question, oh, she with Manny. Oh, she with Manny. Oh, he don't want to rule, he don't want to stay home. The first question we should be asking is, were these young people trafficked? Are they at risk of being trafficked? Get a text here. Good morning, let's look at this scenario at school zones. One school in particular, there is one way in and one way out, but parents continue to drive in through the out with no care. This is what's startling to me. How do you drive recklessly and carelessly around a school, and it's also the school that your child attends? Why would you model that behavior? Why would you show people, I don't care about your child and I don't expect you to care about mine? And why is it that these schools that attempt to guarantee us that they could make smarter individuals out of our children, why don't they devise systems that work and commit to their responsibility of policing the parents? I agree. Nobody's taking crime seriously because we refuse to commit to the work that we know eradicates the risk of crime developing, eradicates the risk of people turning into criminals or relying on criminality to survive. Sorry about that. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yeah, good morning. Ms. Green, I hear you talk about the road that Uncle Michael and all of that.
Yeah.
Ms. Green, mm-hmm. From the six that I get wrong about.
Yeah.
That's, we call that The airport gateway from the sixth round legable, we call it straight down the old Fort Bay.
Uh-huh.
Why is it that we can't get those lines straight in the center of the road on that gateway, Miss Friend?
Okay.
But when you pass the old Fort Bay roundabout,
uh-huh.
Oh, it look like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
When you go around Yamacraw, it look like Christmas. Why can't we get the airport road, which is so dangerous?
Yes.
Straight home.
Not just
so that.
That
people can see. For me and you, try driving that at night or evening time or early morning.
You cannot
see no market, no nothing.
I do that drive regularly in the early morning. Not every day, but regularly. And I agree with you.
Yes, Ms. Green, one thing.
Yeah.
Ministry of Works.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Ministry of Works. Listen, you know that you have issues with water because it's reclaimed swampland. You know that you have to be doing constant maintenance on the road. You wouldn't even Kate and William, the Tropical Gardens, the Windsor Field Road intersection, despite that being one of the most treacherous intersections and incurring plenty accidents. You won't have any police presence out there for the maniacs trying to overtake on Windsor Field and the curve right there. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. How you doing?
Man, everybody's got me practicing my talk show.
Yes, sir.
I say good morning, caller.
Yes, sir.
Good morning to your new producer, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, you sound good, man.
Yeah. Glad to see him again.
Oh, see him again. I never hear him in my ears, but he sound good.
Yeah.
You're talking about the guy only got $200 off, eh? Fine.
What's that?
Yeah, with the sex crime.
Say that again. I missed the foot. You only got
200.
200 what?
Fine. Oh, I missed it somewhere.
No, man. Ain't nobody could be getting no $200.
Oh, you still in jail then?
I'm not sure. I haven't read through the whole article yet. But No. What I heard on the radio this morning is that it's possible that they're assisting the police with their investigation.
Okay, no problem. But that, I read the police statistic on sex crime, and they didn't win into details. They should have put it on your, I don't know if they went into details.
Yeah.
Did they?
No, I'm not sure if they went into detail either.
No, because I'm wondering, almost of children illegally are being sexually molested.
Repeat that? How many?
You could hear me, good, Aaron?
No, it was breaking up just a little bit. Repeat that.
Okay. Illegal children are being sexually molested.
You mean
illegal children.
Undocumented children. Migrant children,
That's your Queen English there.
No, because here's what it is. When you call...
Well, you got it. Yeah. Undocumented children.
But listen, when you call them illegal children, there's some people out there that feel like, oh, that's the perfect victim.
No. Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying?
Then you might say that.
Right, and that's why that's why people like me keep trying to get people to use... more accurate and more humane language.
Right, your undocumented children.
Yeah.
I wonder if they do a report on that.
We need to find out. In fact, when Mr. George comes tomorrow, I'm gonna ask him if he's aware of any stats that are available.
But I remember, I don't know if you remember your own report. I remember you talk about it a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm gonna go back in my notes.
Yeah, you need to go back to the report on your computer.
But listen,
the report you give that always stick with me was high.
Okay. I can look for it. But
I know why it was high, because they are the more vulnerable to be prey on.
Yeah.
They're the more. So when the police give that report, it can't be that big. It can't be the citizen. It got to be undocumented.
As well.
And I'm wondering, because, you know, we really need to go after the prey.
The predators.
The predators. Well,
yeah.
They ain't predators to the charge here, right? They prey. Yeah, predators.
No, they don't become prey until they go into the prison system. And that's a whole nother conversation. Look here.
I got to go. Yeah, all right then.
All right, thank you. I got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
And good morning. No, you don't got no guest today.
No.
Let me touch on the about the missing children.
Okay, yeah.
When actually, I came up with that idea. I went to the minister at the time, Bernard, about starting a Marco alert and mm-hmm. the post channel up and say, you know, you say Marco Polo.
Yeah, yeah.
Polo Marco and then Polo Seno for a child.
I got
and
you.
And then how you respond, even if, and it's supposed to be even like a penalty for the parents, like if your child being missing for 24 hours or whatever, mm-hmm. and you report them for, in that time or whatever, that's the penalty to the parents
mm-hmm.
and the family.
Absolutely.
So you understand? And even if you think they've been Georgie or whoever you know, that's still a penalty because you can't think that. You can't take it by, if they say anything by Georgie, then they mean the child missed it. You mm-hmm. understand? Even if he's there or not, or she's there or not.
Yeah.
So you have to have some teeth in it. That's got, and then I don't even see it go out at all. Because you don't want to be embarrassed about it, or you don't want to embarrass your child until something happens. You know what I mean? Then it's all our problem because, you understand?
Yeah.
We all deal
with the death.
Right. So that's when people take your idea and run with it without even sitting you down and consulting it. It ain't wouldn't to benefit me. It's to benefit all us. Like, you know,
yeah.
When you want to just a photo op or to make it like yours or, you know, this, then that's what you get. Then the second thing is, I really, really, I don't want to call no name, but like that's the minister of works.
Yeah.
I have him in high regard, but I really disturb about his performance at this time. I mean, we have him high up there, but he ain't performing to the, you know, I don't know what's going on. Maybe inundated with what's going on. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of what happens there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
A little bit off topic, Miss Green.
Okay.
I got to say it on the radio so people can know. It looks like when you call the ambulance, I tired of hearing this thing, you know, ambulance available.
Yeah.
And then we, for the life of us, we don't even have one, fire department emergency response. Like, in the U.S., when you call 9 times out of 10, the fire department reach before
the police.
The ambulance.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of obese people or whatever. The fire, sometimes the ambulance drivers ain't even equipped to lift them. You understand?
True.
So, you understand? That required, like, manpower and the fire department to come and maybe have to cut open one door or have lift them out the bed. So we really need to get on the board with all of these little things so we could fine-tune our, you know, we'll be moving. Like somebody said the other day, we're in the second world, we're in a third world country. We're living in a first world nation. I mean, like, so we're interacting with first world. You have tourists here, you have mm-hmm. all kind of things going on. So you can't expect to move like third world when we're in a first world environment.
Absolutely.
So have a good day. Thank you, Ms. Green.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Listen, if you're coming to the Bahamas, we're changing the immigration policy. If you're coming to the Bahamas and you're going to buy your citizenship by making a major investment in the country, we ain't saying, you know, you could buy it like you could buy 3 for 10 Guinness and then give 1 Guinness to me while I sign the immigration form. Not like that. But you're going to make a major investment in the country? I think we need to up the ante a little bit. You got to hit that, what, $250,000, $500,000 million home purchase or business purchase, whatever. You got to buy an ambulance and a fire truck or a fire truck. I ain't going to be greedy. You got to buy an ambulance or a fire truck. Maybe we're going to get you to buy some blocks for the hurricane shelter in Abaco. You know, I went to QC my whole life at QC. Sponsorship to buy block for the auditorium, an auditorium that I never experienced finished. That's like the tree you plant that you know you're not going to eat fruit from. Dear future citizens of the Bahamas, I mean, just bring one little ambulance. We can need that little thing. On another note, you're absolutely correct. We have an obesity crisis here, but we have a fitness crisis, right? Where people are big and they cannot carry their own weight. See, we got some people who are obese, you know, but they can carry their own weight. They can pick themselves up from a chair off the ground. They could get out the car. But when you're obese and you cannot move yourself, when you're obese and you don't know how to help people help you. You're going to injure people. And we've had a lot of that happening with our medical staff. We got a lot of that happening with our emergency medical technicians. And we got a lot of people in households who are suffering from injuries because they're trying to assist people who are obese, morbidly obese, and do not know how to or don't have the capacity to carry their own body weight. The text says, weren't you giving women who sell their bodies a pass because you said that they should have autonomy to make choices and it's an economic opportunity for them? Are you for or against prostitution, Aaron, and should prostitutes be jailed too or not? Okay, so it's important to note that I was making that commentary in the context of child sex trafficking and child prostitution and telling the people who would take advantage of children, if they think that selling sex is a viable way to make money, sell your own body. It's the first thing I'm saying. Second thing I'm saying is this, that we should live in a society where women never have to choose to sell their bodies for survival or to sell their bodies to live or maintain the lifestyle that they want or have become accustomed to. At the same time, since I can't make choices for people, no, I don't think prostitution should be illegal, and it is not illegal. Prostitution is not illegal. Solicitation is illegal, right? Not prostitution. Pimps should be eradicated. They should be illegal. Another text, great show as usual, Miss Green. So when I say people on the beach too fat, everyone get mad at my statement now. People obese, boy, I tell you. Yeah, man, you can't say that people on the beach are too fat. Too fat for what? But they too fat. You telling me you upset they too fat for kidnapping? You can't just pick them up and throw them in the car and drive off? I think that's a good thing. We shouldn't be shaming people. We shouldn't be body shaming people. You know, but I'm pointing out to people that if you are going to be obese, if you want that look, that body look, if that's how you live in, that's the choice that you've made. Remember, in times of illness, in times of medical emergency, it's going to be difficult for people to help you. That's it. Okay, I got a text here. Text to give me more context. 9 months for the woman and 12 plus possible 18, then 12 more counseling and fines, but just 9 months for the woman. Give me more context for that, please. Text her. All right, I said I wanted to talk about the Dorian Memorial Concert Series, but let's start here. Have you gotten your Dorian Memorial ribbon yet? You can pick them up if you're in Abaco from the Office of the Prime Minister, Grand Bahama from the Harold de Gregory Building, New Providence from the Office of the Prime Minister, the National Stadium, Super Value or Quality Markets, Quality Supermarkets. I didn't talk about Dorian, the Memorial Concert Series last week on the first or the Friday. I didn't talk about it because I'm still very upset about the whole thing. Like, I'm still very upset about it. I'm upset about the way that we handle this thing, the way that we handle the survivors of this event, you know, the way that we've handled the memorializing of the victims of Dorian. I'm upset about the whole thing. I'm livid even, and I didn't want to bring that energy into the space on the actual, on September the first. I tell you why I'm upset. It's because it's like with most state projects, it feels just last minute. Like nobody really thought about it. Like nobody really put any effort into it. Like the William and Kate Highway on Carmichael between Blue Hill Road and Sybil Strawn Primary. It's empty. It makes no sense. It's disconnected from the people it is supposed to uplift. It disregards so much of the lives that the people we're supposed to be memorializing lived. The concert that was quickly turned into a concert series because you realize that you're having an event in New Providence to memorialize people from Grand Bahama and Abaco. The memorial ribbon should have been available to people from at least a month in advance. So the whole nation would be wearing a ribbon on the day of, the week of, the month of. But it's empty. And if I were in charge, and I don't have to be in charge to commit to improving it, you know, but if I were in charge, I would add National Day to Honor the Dead to National Heroes Day, honoring the indigenous peoples who first inhabited these islands, to the victims of Dorian, to those that drowned at sea, that have lost their life at the hands of human smugglers and traffickers, and to other victims of violence in the country. That's what I would have done. But you can't do that in 3 weeks. You can't do that in 2 weeks, in 2 months. It takes commitment. Anyway, that's the music. We got to go to a break. It took a long time. Text, I'm going to get back from the break. Text, I'm going to get to you right away. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. As we get ready to close out the show, I got a text that says, I disagree with that, Miss Green. The only thing you can control is the amount of food you put in your mouth. Being fat is 100% your own choice. Some bodies should be shamed. No bodies should be shamed. And yes, you can control the amount of food you put in your body. There's some people that have other factors, right? There's some people that have other factors. I used to tell people I was big boned for half my life. It turns out I was just, you know, big, not big boned. But there are health issues, there's stress issues, there are predisposed genetic issues that can sort of cause people to be fat. Being fat is not necessarily an indicator of unhealthiness, right? Not necessarily. And then here's another reason why it's vitally important that we stop shaming people and shaming fat people. In the medical world globally, but particularly in the global north, here's what we found. We found that people, women in particular, right, are documenting that they have been they live with pain. They go to the doctor for a diagnosis, and doctors typically say, well, let's lose the weight first and see what's happening. And attribute all the illnesses or symptoms that people are having to the fact that they're fat and ignore the real medical issues at play. And that's because of fat phobia and fat shaming. And so that's one of the reasons why we got to get away from fat shaming. All right. Morning, Aaron. The concerts and memorial services for Hurricane Dorian victims were a major success and blessings to the Bahamas. Jehovah God Almighty is still very good to us all, from the mayor of Grand Bahama. I'm glad that the victims, the survivors, I'm glad that the residents of Grand Bahama and Abaco and New Providence enjoyed the concerts. Right? This is good. I'm glad that C.C. Winans came and shared and created an environment where people could celebrate that which they have saved, that which they have rebuilt, right? I'm happy for all of that. But there's still questions that we have to ask. Was this a fundraising event? Will we get a report of what some of us were led to believe was a fundraising exercise that was attached to the concerts? Maybe I, like many other people, missed the press statements. You know, maybe we missed that. But there's still a lot to be said. Not all residents are grateful for what has been done. Now, let me rephrase that. I think everybody is grateful for what has been done so far, but many residents know that more can and should have been done. And we've seen residents say that. And I hate it when we put people in the position where they feel like they have to show the world that they're grateful for the little crumbs that they've gotten if they're ever going to get more. People should be able to complain and say, no, it's been 3 years and we don't have running water. It's been 3 years and you do not have a shelter in place. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You gone? I'm sorry about that, caller. Another text. Yes, Miss Green, you see how some of these fat people look in shape. Go into a history book. Go into a history book. 300, 400, 500 years ago, these are the goddesses. And guess what? In the minds of many Bahamians and many people around the world, these big, buxom, loveful bodies are still the ideal. Okay, two girls went to... okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the sentence. We're going to get into that. But I think it's because they assisted the police with the investigation. That's like the plea deal that we've been talking about. Yeah, we got to talk about that more. Aaron, what Bahamians have been able to build back since Hurricane Dorian when they actually kicking them out of the domes as we speak? What exactly are they celebrating when Bahamians crying all day? That's that, right. This is what I'm saying. The amount of money that you spent on organizing and pulling off this memorial concert, could we not have spent it on an actual housing plan for Abaco? Temporary and permanent rehousing of people? Something? Water, electricity, police presence? Temporary work programs? It's not time for celebration yet. We still have a lot more rebuilding to do and a lot more work to do. We're just almost out of time. Here's some of the things I'm hoping we could pick up on Wednesday. Saw a video of wild dogs roaming. They look so cute. The mommy pit bull and the baby pit bull, they look so cute, but they're still roaming. That's just one video. What about the children that have to walk home? What about the communities that buses do not travel through, that kids got to walk from the main road to their house? Also, another topic I'm hoping we touch on Wednesday, eradicating poaching and undocumented migration. How we could manage both at the same time. Also, for Wednesday, give me my change. What is this trend of businesses telling people they have to short their customers because they don't have enough change? Say what? No, sir, if you're short of change, you're going to have to give me extra money or reduce the price or something. But you're not going to tell me that I have to pay extra for an item or for my groceries because you don't have change. I'm going to need somebody from the central bank or somebody to step in on that. Oh, my goodness, Texas, you came so late. Yes, people that are overweight shouldn't be made to feel shame, but fat will kill you. Being too skinny will kill you, too. Jack Spratt could eat no fat. His wife could eat no lean. Producer, we got to go. We're all out of time. Thank you, callers. Thank you, texters. Thank you to the audience. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. Have a great day.